Hello, welcome to The Blue Room on Radio City Talk with me, Peter McPartland. I'm joined in the studio tonight by Matt Jones, Paddy Boyland and Mickey Horton. Is it Hooton or Horton?
It's Horton, pal.
It's Horton. Yeah, sorry, that's just the commoner in me saying Hooton, isn't it? It's Horton. I'll get the name right. Oh, God, it's warm today, lads.
Tell you what,
I am sweating like Kevin Morales in a Belgian press conference describing why he's had an uptake in form.
He said he lost 6 kilos of weight. He said he lost them, and Koeman made him put a 6 kilo weight on his back to feel the difference, so... He's obviously been sweating a lot in training by the sound of it as well.
That sounds like in schools when you want to show girls why not to get pregnant and they put the big weight on them. This is what it'll feel like. I'm sure it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, it sounds pretty similar, yeah.
It's an international week, so there'll probably be more of this nonsense because I can't really think of that much to talk about. Transfer deadline. Lads, how have we survived the weekend? International weekend. Because even though... whether you like it or not, didn't seem to be that many Everton players involved in the first place.
There isn't, but they're just the games for me. International games are just drab, aren't they? You know, they're just sort of so bad. And obviously, you know, with the England, you know, the euphoria over Big Sam coming in as manager, but they were still just as bad as ever, weren't they? It was just, you know, it seemed like a Roy Hodgson team, but just with a different manager. And obviously, they spawned the result in the last minute.
It's like they've packed all the good sports into this weekend, isn't it? Because you've got the Brook Golovkin fight, you've got the Manchester Derby, you've got Celtic Rangers. So last week was a major drought. I was off as well. I was sitting there thinking, oh, get stuck into some good sport this weekend. And I was flicking through my Sky Planner and there was absolutely nothing at all on.
Paddy, did you discover any new sports over the weekend that you'd never, you know, ever found before?
To be honest, no. I had a weekend off. I thought after the transfer deadline day that Everton had, I thought I'd take a bit of a break and then come back, hopefully refreshed for this Monday night's game.
I'm the same. I don't mind an international break because... It is for me just a break.
But don't you find it's early this year? It's just like the season's just got going, and then all of a sudden we're all stopping for the internationals.
Mickey, you sound like people that say, "Oh, isn't it going dark early?" No, towards the end of August. It happens every year.
It's just because I'm old, pal. Just getting old and getting miserable. That's what it is.
Every year, the same people say, "Oh, isn't it getting dark early?" No, it's not. It's been the same for about 3 million years, and all of your life.
Just not happy unless I'm moaning. That's what it is.
That's because you live in Blackpool.
Lytham St Andrews. Oh, get it right. Come on.
Sorry, mate.
Right, get it right.
Sorry, mate. You've swapped the big one for Bowling Greens.
That's it. Spot on.
Well, as Paddy mentioned there, obviously transfer deadline day. It was a week ago now. A week ago, I know the lads were in live, probably celebrating the fact that we just signed Sissoko, which is a story in its own. But. Matt, I'll start with you. Transfer deadline day, by the end of it, I was just worn out by the lack of Everton activity and just the way Everton seemed to handle the whole thing. The fact that it seemed like it was going somewhere with a couple of days beforehand and then just petered out into nothing.
It was like they kind of got caught up in the freneticism of it all, wasn't it, really? And they wanted to make a big splash and sign someone like Sissoko, but... Yeah, it was all pretty underwhelming, really, and I think I was looking at the last day thinking there's a few... Although I was quite happy with the signings beforehand in the window, I think there's a few key areas that we all want to see addressed, most notably being a striker, a goalkeeper as well, perhaps, I thought might have come in. So I was looking for them to be addressed, really, and the fact that we were looking at Moussa Sissoko really confused me in a few ways, really, because I'm not entirely sure he's worth the money that was being bandied around, and this is a player that had been available for the whole summer as well. Newcastle, obviously, we're going to be looking at keeping him because they were in the Championship. They'd been talking about him going to Real Madrid, to Juventus, Spurs, into Milan. So it was clear he was available. And if Everton wanted him that much, they should have gone and got him earlier in the window. And the fact that they didn't, they left it to the last day, you'd always leave yourself open to these kind of situations and this type of ridicule which has followed. So, yeah, it was a disappointing last segment of the window for me, but I'm still feeling pretty positive overall about the transfer market.
Yeah, I agree with Matt totally there. I think overall in the window our business was good. You know, we've matched our transfer record in bringing Malassi in. Obviously, Idrissa Gueye has just been just unbelievable since he's arrived. So on the whole, I think I'm happy. You know, obviously Ashley Williams as well. I just think the last day was a little bit shambolic on Everton's part. Because they left it, as Matt said there, we left it so late. You know, we come in with this £30 million bid at 9:45 at night. And we put pressure on ourselves, didn't we? You know, and by the sounds of it, he's played us like a good one because, you know, he probably was never coming in the first place. And I think the winners, obviously, out of this was Newcastle United.
I think the disappointing thing for me was how scattergun it all got. I mean, after Sissoko went to Spurs, there didn't seem like any concerted strategy to back it up. We're hearing reports of a last-minute bid for Andrei Yarmolenko, who was a Roberto Martinez target, really. So that shows you how...
They've got his phone number, though. That's the thing. They've got his phone number. It's like Riquelme, once you've got it. It's there. It's in the book.
Yeah, it's like the last throws of the window, wasn't it, sort of thing. But... I think we can all be quite happy with the squad, though. I mean, I think there's been some key areas that have been addressed in terms of leadership, in terms of physicality, in terms of players who are going to work hard and fit the Koeman blueprint. And they will improve the first team, and as a result, we should get more points. But I think the lingering concern for me as well is you look at the business that the teams around us have done as well. I think a lot of teams have gone out and spent big money. A lot of teams have strengthened the squads as a whole. And plenty seem to be taking it as a given that because Everton have strengthened their first 11, we are going to automatically finish higher up the table. We are going to better our 11th place finish this year. But because of those players that have come into other clubs, I mean, look at the business Crystal Palace did late in the window. I think they did really well to get some good players in. There's a lot of other teams as well in and around the same area that we finished who strengthened really well. So that'll be a concern for me. But I think the fact that we've upgraded our manager as well is going to count a lot for that.
No, you mentioned, how did you mention Yarmolenko? Another one was, I think Kalinic has been mentioned from Fiorentina. It does seem very strange that there was no clear plan. And also, talk of different people doing different things on the day and no focused idea of who was leading the transfer window and who was going after these players. And that to me was a little bit worrying. But hopefully that'll get better. But hopefully they'll learn from that. You know, there's talk Mascheri wasn't happy about the whole thing. But hopefully they'll learn from that, because I just think that they need to identify targets. And if they don't get those targets, then just move away rather than get in positions where, you know, Jim White's giving out precious information on Sky Sports News.
I think Mascheri's obviously now realised that he's not at Arsenal anymore and he's at Everton. I think when he was at Arsenal, they can go and identify a player and potentially just go and get him because it's Arsenal. You're down in London, Champions League football to offer. He's obviously at Everton now. And, you know, if you're going to try and attract a player, all we've got to offer really is, well, we've got a good manager now that goes in our favour, but all we've got to offer is money. And I just think, you know, he's now realised that he's not at Arsenal now and he's going to have to plan things a bit different in the next window.
Yeah. That is the worry, isn't it? It's not the worry as such, but everyone's got money. It's what else you can offer these players.
Yeah, I think so. As Mickey alluded to, Everton aren't as much of a big catch for players now looking to further themselves in the Premier League as they once were. If you look at when Lukaku signed for that big club record sum of money, Everton were in fifth place at the time and looking like they were going to push towards the Champions League. Two seasons of regression under Martinez means that Everton now is seen as a mid-table club, but like a Stoke City or a Southampton. There's no pulling power there, really. And the likes of Sissoko, frankly, are at this moment in time always going to choose Spurs over Everton.
Yeah, I think another thing for me as well is what I thought we might do this summer with the new backing is potentially pay a premium to get the players in early doors. And I think if you look at the teams who've probably done the best business this summer, you think of City, United, even Liverpool to a certain extent when they went out and signed Sadio Mane for £36 million. And there's plenty of eyebrows raised about United going to spend that kind of money on Pogba, but they got them in straight away and they're in the squad now. They're embedded, they know what it's all about, and they've gone from there. They weren't involved in ratting around on the last day of the transfer deadline day, and typically if you leave it so late in the window as well, you're not going to get those quality players. You're not going to get the players with the right attitude. You're going to get players who have got flaws in them. It's like going to Tesco at about 3 o'clock and all the nice meal deals have gone. You're left with ready salted crisp and egg and cress, aren't you? So it's that sort of thing. So I think there will be lessons learned from this as well. And I think it says quite a lot that all the business Everton did do and did successfully do was with English clubs as well. I think they've obviously delved into the European market and tried to bring in some of these high-profile players like Witsel, Carvalho, Gabbiadini, talk about Brahimi as well on the last day. And I think they've not quite got that right, and they've been a little bit naive in that sense. So as long as there's lessons learned from it and going forward, we see improvements in that sense, then I've got no problem. But I don't want to be sat here in 12 months' time saying we've made the same sorts of errors again.
You can go into Tesco and get those meals with just the yellow sticker on, though, Matt.
What ones are they?
No, the
ones that are about to expire.
Yeah, here. Just them ones. You want them for your tea. So I don't know how that works in football terms. I'm just throwing it out.
You need to go properly late, don't you, for that, though? Like, it's like 6-7 o'clock before you get them. You don't get them at like 3 o'clock just on a late lunch.
Okay. There's nothing we can measure that in football terms, is there? yeah, I mean, it was a frustrating day. I mean, just mentioning there the whole Jim White thing. Again, I find that very, very strange. These statements coming out of Farhad Moshiri's office going straight to Jim White. I mean, again, is that, Mickey, is that naivety that he's using, you know, a third party rather than going through the club? Because there was a lot of scepticism about that, about that statement, and was it real or not? And I think that led to its own problems as well. Instead of just going through the club media and getting that message out there and getting a focused message, it, again, that felt a little bit... the whole thing felt a bit strange, the Sissoko thing and saying about James McCarthy being family. That was pretty hit and miss as well for me.
It was a bit embarrassing for me, and, you know, I don't want to get involved in any of that circus, that whole deadline day circus. Mm. You know, it's for the media, it's for TV. Mm. And I'll be honest, I'm caught up in it because I was watching it all day, but it's not something that I want my club involved in. And I don't think, I mean, I think he has sent the text. I don't think he'd be allowed to say it if he didn't.
Yeah.
Again, I think it is naive from him, and hopefully he'll learn from that, because, as I say, for me, it was just a little bit embarrassing. And I want to, the same as what Matt was saying there, I want our business done nice and early, because you leave it so late, you're going to be paying top whack. Get it done early. You don't get involved in any of all the, you know, the last day shenanigans. You look at the likes of Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal. I know Chelsea bought Luiz in last minute, but the, you know, which was madness in itself. Yeah. It's something that I don't want to get involved in, and hopefully, as I say, we'll learn from this.
Because, I mean, the big thing for me, Paddy, I throw this over to you, is, you know, you look at Liverpool, you look at Manchester United, you look at Manchester City, they had all their business done. They didn't get anywhere near. Okay, Chelsea jumped in last minute. Arsenal had to jump in the last week. Those big teams, they had all their business addressed. It was all done, and they're ready for the season when the season starts, pretty much.
Yeah, there's a reason why they do that as well. You need to bed players in as early as possible for the opening games in the season. And Everton, obviously, they got that initial crop of players in, and I'm happy with them. As we said earlier, Idrissa Gueye's made a huge impact. Stecklenburg's an improvement on what we had originally. And I think Bolasie and Williams are excellent signings as well. But Everton did leave it last minute, and I think, for me, the important thing to take out of it was that this is a new regime, and it's cutting its teeth slightly. Perhaps this is a slightly longer-term project, and the initial phase of it is that there will be some mistakes made. The important thing is that they learn from them.
Do you think Koeman will be happy with the squad and what he's got in now? Because there seems to be a little bit of anxiousness from him after the Stoke game. He said that the squad's going to look a lot different now to what it will do in a week's time. I'm just wondering how he'll respond to this kind of, you know, the circus on the last sort of day.
I mean, I'll ask you the same question, but for me, it's still a striker light, or maybe two strikers light. Yeah. And that's the most frustrating thing for me. It's not we didn't sign anyone on transfer deadline day. It only frustrated me because we needed to sign someone on transfer day, which, I mean, we did sign someone. We'll talk about Enner Valencia in a moment. But it still feels light, certainly up front. He's going to have to move players around at times to come, you know, to, if he needs to, he's going to have to. You might have to play Delafeu up front. You might have to play Coney up front.
Nias is back in the squad as well, isn't
he? Yeah, he is in the squad, but
he's not got a number yet.
I don't really pay any attention to that as such. But I think he will be frustrated. But you look at some of those articles that come out of the deadline day, and I think Dominic King's done one, and Paul Joyce done one, and they're on very, very similar lines, but slightly different. You know, Paul Joyce basically saying it was frustrating that they missed out, but if you look at it, they got key targets in. Whereas you look at Dominic King, who's basically just seems to be ripping into Koeman for having short-term plans. I don't know what he watched last season, but it couldn't be in Everton, because if anything, we needed short-term plans. So I'm happy with the business we've done. I think it's fantastic, the players you've brought in. I just think we're a striker light.
I'm worried about the keeper. And I think we're going to be too reliant on Gareth Barry as well. I think they're my two main concerns looking at the squad now. I think Stecklenburg's obviously done well, but I'd be more privy to judging him over a three-year period rather than a three-game period, which he's had so far. And he's done really well, and I hope he does recapture the form he had at Roman and when he was in the Netherlands squad, and he's obviously got back in that now. And I think the last two seasons we spoke to far too frequently about how often we're reliant on Gareth Barry. And I think while Idrissa Garnaghey will take some of the workload off him, I just, he's 36 years old in February, and I'm not sure we've got a player like him in the squad who you can spot danger, you can distribute the ball, and you can make an impression in the final third. Unless you see someone like Tom Davis maybe coming in and fulfilling that role, but I'm just worried that we're a little bit light in those two areas.
Do you think Darren Gibson's the understudy for Gareth Barry? I know he's never around, really, Gibson. He's normally on the treatment table, isn't he? But he's the one with the most similar characteristics in his game. So maybe that's why he was kept around. I don't know, because there's nobody else. Tom Cleverley can't do that role, and that's why we are so heavily reliant on Gareth Barry. Sometimes it showed, especially in that Europa League campaign under Martinez. It was too much for him. So I think Matt's right, that was an area that really did need to be strengthened, not just in the short term, but also looking further ahead to that.
And I think it was crazy as well, obviously, with, you know, James McCarthy as well getting sort of touted as being unhappy at the club, and, you know, that we were looking to offload him as well. When you're looking, as we say, with Gareth Barry, you know, he's not getting any younger. Idrissa Gueye obviously is going to the African Nations as well, so we're going to lose him for 5 weeks. So midfield, we are going to be light, and I think we're going to be, you know, hopefully Bezic will come back. I know he's got a bad injury as well. We've got Bezic to come back, but we're going to need James McCarthy, and it's going to be really important that we've got players like that in the midfield. And I think regarding the keeper, Stekelenburg, he's had a decent 3 games, but Koeman actually come out in one of his press conferences and said, we need another keeper. So he was made known, really, that we were in the market for someone. And I was shocked that the Joe Hart thing didn't happen. I just thought he was there for the taking. Yeah. Especially for 12 months, he would have been absolutely ideal. We could have had a look at him. He could have come and had a look at us. It was just seemed to be perfect timing. And I was astounded that didn't happen, especially when we are looking for a keeper. But as I say, the lad that's coming at the moment, Stekelenburg, he's done all right. But I'm a bit nervous as well, because I think, you know, some point he could come unstuck.
Yeah, I think we could have done with another goalkeeper, whether it be someone of Joe Hart's calibre or just another good goalkeeper to come into the team. But that could be addressed in January. They might wait till next summer now to address that. Coming up in part two, we'll be discussing Romelu Lukaku's comments and what makes an Everton family member. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Blue Room on Radio City Talk with me, Peter McPartland. We've discussing in the first part of the show transfer deadline day and pretty much the whole transfer window and what we thought of it. One of the things that did come up was Farhad Moshiri's comments to Jim White, his little. I don't know. Did he text each other? What? Maybe there's a WhatsApp group of like Jim White, Natalie Sawyer, and Farhad Moshiri. I don't know.
There's no way that statement is written out exactly like that on notes.
On notes.
I imagine what's probably happened there. He's had a chat with him and he said, "Can I just transcribe some of what you said and we'll put it into a little column?" Because it doesn't make any sense, does it? It's just absolutely remarkable.
Jim's put his little bit of spin on it, hasn't he, for Sky as well, which hasn't helped things.
Yeah,
I wouldn't expect anything more. But one of the things that was said was, you know, they went for Sissoko, but then I wish I had the statement in front of me. I'm literally, but he's basically said, Jane McCarthy is part of the Everton family, and we couldn't possibly sell one of the Everton family 3 days after letting Ryan Ledson go. He'd been at the club since he was 7. So I mean, what you? Mickey, I sat with you because you're the oldest. You know what it means.
Man of the world.
You know what it means to be part of the Everton family. What does that mean? You know, do we class players in the squad as part of the Everton family, or do we wait till we see what they've done in their careers and how they've, you know, how their career plays out at Everton before we start saying things like that?
Yeah, as I said before, mate, I have no idea why he's come out with that. It sounds like something that the previous manager would sort of come out and say, you know, where he sort of spins a yarn for the whole world to sort of believe. I just think it's mental, it's crazy, and he's, you know, being badly advised. I think he's probably regretting saying it now, because obviously, you know, there's no such thing as, you know, we're not going to bring a player in because we want James McCarthy to sort of feel wanted. Sorry, that just doesn't wash. Little bit embarrassing, and as I say, hopefully that's something that he'll learn from, because you know, a football club's not run on the way you look after your players, is it? You know, or you know, whether you treat them as family members. Just a bit mental. Crazy statement to make.
Yeah. I think you've got to use the hashtag Everton family on Twitter to be fully involved in it personally. Like, I've not seen James McCarthy using that on his social media account, so I personally wouldn't say he's fully integrated into it now.
Paddy, do you think this is a case of maybe, you know, they're in the office, Moshiri, Bill Kenwright, Moshiri says, do you want a cup of tea, Bill? He says, yeah. Goes out the room. Bill gets the phone, starts looking through his contacts. There's Jim White. I'll send him a message.
He's been hacked. He hacked him.
I'm thinking, I'm thinking Bill got hold of Farhad's phone and sent that message to Jim White because he hasn't got Jim White's number.
That was actually the first thing that came into my head. It did sound like it had been written by Bill in conjunction with Roberto. It was like the two of them had teamed together for
in
this
conjunction
one.
With JK Rowling.
Do you reckon Farhad got back from the kitchen and Bill sitting there with a big grin on his face like, oh, you'll never guess what I've just done. Guess who I've just texted there. You're a right idiot.
There are two things, though. I think the first one is that it's quite clear that it's blatant nonsense. They'd tried to bring in Moussa Sissoko, who was virtually going to be James McCarthy's replacement. If that had happened, the talk was of McCarthy going out on loan to Crystal Palace until the end of the season. So I don't really see how the failed attempt has changed.
But that
much
makes no sense, really, because they're different players, aren't they? Doesn't he plays out wide, doesn't he, Sissoko? He's a wide player, he's not a central midfielder, is he?
He's played all over the place, hasn't he, for Newcastle, I think, yeah. But, yeah, really strange one anyway.
I don't think we've missed out, to be honest.
No, we've been lucky.
You know, when we'd agreed the fee, I could just see all over Twitter Newcastle fans absolutely giving Everton fans pelt at us about what they were buying. So as soon as the Tottenham bid come in, I suddenly felt strangely better about myself and Everton. So it didn't feel that bad. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because James McCarthy seemed to want out of Everton, which seemed to, you know, which led to actually the funniest press conference I've probably ever seen with Roy Keane. You know, basically saying, well, hasn't he played every game this season that he could have been involved with? Which again leads to me, which I find strange about James McCarthy, because this is the first time in his career at Everton where he's been under any pressure for his place and he's trying to bolt out the door. I mean, what does that say about him?
Do you know what? I don't know whether that is the case, because I have no idea if that is the case, but I think maybe some fans are putting two and two together and coming up with five, because I think it was when he was dragged off, wasn't he, against West Brom. I think he was playing at right back, wasn't he, at the time. And obviously Koeman looked at it, wasn't working, and he dragged him off. But I don't think that was down to James McCarthy playing bad. I think it was the system that we were playing. And I think obviously fans have looked at that, because obviously he was dragged off, and as I say, maybe put two and two together. I have no idea what's going on in the club, but as you say, you know, he needs to knuckle down. It is the first time that he's come under a bit of pressure, but I think if we want to move onwards and upwards, that's what we need. We need competition for places.
You'd think he'd relish the challenge, wouldn't you, really?
Absolutely.
Someone of his age, someone who's been with the same sort of manager for a while, to have someone like Koeman coming in and his pedigree, and to have somebody coming in playing and basically taking his position off him, you'd think he'd be emboldened by that and want to go on and show the manager that he can do that. So I think the reports that he wants to leave were from pretty reliable journalists as well. I think Paul Joyce said that he wanted out, didn't he, as well. So I imagine there is some veracity to that. But yeah, a little disappointed by it all. And obviously he's got that injury now as well, so he's going to be up the side for a while.
Yeah, too busy going up to Glasgow to watch Celtic games by the looks of it. That's where he's getting his injury from.
Yeah.
Romelu Lukaku, he's a man who's in the Everton family, surely. he said, well, he came out with a statement, didn't he? He said, Juventus came in for him, but he decided to stay. It's not finished with Everton yet. It's not the right time to leave, and it hasn't all been bad. But he somehow twists a statement about staying at Everton into basically, you know, the time's not right for me to leave. Not I've got things to do at Everton. It's the time's not right for me to leave. Which I just basically take as my agent's been too busy tying up Paul Pogba to Man United all summer to get me a good move. So when's this lad going to learn? Mickey, when is he going
to
learn?
It seems to happen, doesn't it? Always on an international break. It's as soon as he gets away, as soon as obviously the wheels leave John Lennon Airport, you see him like sort of, that's where he starts opening his mouth, isn't it?
On Sissoko's jet.
Yeah, exactly. He obviously thinks he's big in the club, whether he obviously thinks he's a big deal, and he's obviously using Everton in his head as a stepping stone onto bigger and better things. Well, if that is the case, that's fair enough, but you keep your gob shut, you know what I mean? Because we're paying his wages at the moment, and there's fans there each week, week in, week out, supporting him. He's got to get his head down, and he's got to start banging goals in for the club. Obviously, he scored two, didn't he, for Belgium midweek, so hopefully he's going to kick on from that. He just needs to sort of someone to advise him. Hopefully, you know, Ronald Koeman maybe have a word with him or something when he gets back. He's getting really badly advised, and just say to him, look, you know, when you're on these international breaks, you need to just keep your gob shut, and while you've got a blue shirt on, you just need to concentrate on that and, you know, hopefully start banging some goals in for us.
Do you not think someone at the club should have said this to him already? I mean, this has been going on all summer, hasn't it? You've got a new manager in, he's come out and said, after the West Brom game. They came from Koeman, didn't they? In his column in the Dutch newspaper on the morning of that game, and then after the game, he said he's staying. Surely someone at the club should have got a grip of him now and said, "We've come out and said you're staying. I think they're looking, offer him a new contract. Just don't spin. Just don't give them any kind of ammunition. Don't say anything about potentially leaving." And he's still doing it. And I think going back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show, this is where Everton have backed themselves into a corner in a way, because we've got a player there who's struggling for goals in the Premier League, and he clearly wants to move on this summer. And we've got nobody else to replace him with. We're still so reliant on him. And if he has a little bit of a sulk on for the rest of the season, what kind of position is Ronald Koeman going to be in now?
Paddy?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's just exclusive to Romelu Lukaku, this. They're shooting them out off on international breaks. Kevin Morales is being prone to it as well. Maybe the club needs to send somebody over to the Belgian camp and advise.
Maybe that's what he's doing.
So advise on PR or something, I don't know. But for me, I've always seen Lukaku as a bit of an egoist and somebody that thinks he's bigger than the club. It's clear he sees us as a stepping stone. And I mean, if we're taking what he's saying at face value, then fine, he chose not to move this summer. But I think the Euros had a big influence on that. He was looking for a move. He thought the Euros was going to be his opportunity to put himself in the shop window, and he didn't fire. And I don't think the interest came in the way that him and Raiola in particular had expected, really.
I don't think there was any concrete bids for him. I don't know where this Juventus thing has come from.
I think he was talking about when he moved to Everton initially, didn't he? And it's been spun a little bit.
But he didn't make that very clear, though, if that's what he was saying, because he sort of basically said, I had the chance to go to Juventus. And then whether it's like two statements put together to create something, I don't know. But
this is the danger, isn't it, when you're translating interviews and stuff into...
in this day and age.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously... It's quite an ambiguous line, and some journalists have latched onto it as a saying that he could have gone this summer. But I think I remember rightly, I don't know if the lads can remember this as well, but I think Juventus were in for him this summer when Everton got him, and there was quite a lot of talk about him maybe going there. So I think that's what he was talking about in that sense, definitely.
So you get the vibe that he's really not happy at the club, don't you? You know, his body language just doesn't seem right at all, and I get the feeling that we maybe have priced him out of a move, because I think we put the figure of, was it 75 million or something, wasn't
million,
it?
Yeah.
Which, you know, obviously no one is going to come in and pay for that. I just get a feeling that he's not entirely happy as well with that. I think he did want to go during the summer.
But I think it's important that they did keep him, though, because
absolutely,
after selling John Stones, I don't, you know, when Everton sold John Stones, regardless of what was going on elsewhere, there was, you know, people were starting to say, well, you're still a selling club, nothing's changed. Now, if we'd sold two, I think that would have caused really bad ruptions, and it just made the club look really... like they hadn't moved on in any way. So I think they had to, and you're right about the price tag. It was always, you know, upwards of 70 million, which when you look at the market, that's not that bad, really, is it? When you think about the players you've been sold for 30, 35. I mean, when Sissoko's going for 30 million, I mean, that says everything about that kind of price. So I don't think that's about... I always think as well that a player leaving after a tournament... I was fear, you know, you've seen the way he started the season. He started it slow. He started the season slow after the last World Cup as well. Yeah. And I don't think it's a great time to leave for another club, because you want to get to a club and you want to be up and running from the start. And I don't think what we've seen so far, he hasn't been on it so far. So I think it's best for himself. To be honest, though, I don't think he's a sulker, though, personally. I think he'll just get on with it, because I think that is his ego. I think that is his ego. His ego is to score goals. So I don't think he's a sulker. And if you look at that Belgium forward line, he could easily lose his place in that starting line without a problem.
But he did, didn't he? Against Spain, he played Benteke instead, didn't he? So,
but that was a friendly, wasn't it? Yeah. So you get the feeling he might have just been rested or whatever. But he was back for the one that mattered, and he scored a couple of goals. And you just imagine if he's off it a little bit this season... he'll lose that place, and that'll really damage his deal with Nike or something like that. So, you know, but going back to what you were saying before, Matt, I mean, personally, I mean, I don't know what Paddy think about this, but I think the club have really got to start clamping down now on anyone talking, you know, out of school when they go on these international breaks. I think they've got to be told, if you start speaking out of turn, you are going to be dropped.
it's so hard though, isn't it? Because what you do, you know, player power at the moment is massive. You know, you turn around and say to him, right, if you open your gob, then, you know, we're either going to, as you say, you can't find them anymore because, you know, they've got more money than sense, so fines are no good. Dropping them, you know, if he doesn't want to play for us anyway, then you say, is that going to work? And you can't say, I'm going to sell you because that's what he wants in the first place. So player power at the moment is mental.
But I wouldn't define it by one particular player. If you just put the outline there and say, you know, any player that goes international duty, if you start speaking, you know, anything other than the party line, then, you know, there will be ramifications and that will be you are dropped. And then everybody knows. And then at least when they do it, we can turn around as fans and say, well, you know, you said you were going to do it. Rather than this, I mean, it's not as bad as last time with Roberto Martinez actually patting him on the back for saying he wants to play Champions League football, which was just a joke at the time. But I think there has to be some kind of discipline through the team. Like, you'd expect Ronald Koeman would be the man to dish it out.
You would have thought so. You would have thought he's going to stand no messing whatsoever. And it's hard, you know, what we were talking about before. We were saying that we needed to keep him. I agree with you. We did need to keep him because we've got no one else. But the other side to that, playing devil's advocate, is that you don't want an unhappy player at the club who also then is not going to be playing well, whose value is going to go down as well because he's a commodity at the moment as well. So if he's there at the club, he's not doing the business and he wants out, his value is going to decrease as well. So it's such a fine line of trying to get the balance right, isn't it?
He's got Paul Pogba nearby as well now, anyway, well, so he can go play. Yeah. He can all play basketball. Card, yeah. So he should be happy about that. But I think he's always been quite a streaky player, hasn't he? He tends to go on runs where he scores a glut of goals, and then he can go on a spell like he's on currently, where he doesn't tend to get many. So hopefully the goals he scored against Cyprus in midweek will kick him a little bit, and he'll start finding the back of the net soon.
Just finalist, Paddy, and you know, you can all jump in on this one. There's now the dilemma: did you give him a new contract? And I suppose in that contract he could negotiate a buyout clause, or did he leave him and he has one less year on his contract, so therefore his value will go down anyway?
No, I think you have to press. Mickey said something very interesting. He spoke about players being commodities. If we look at this from a business point of view, you need to tie your assets to long contracts. If he runs an extra year of his contract down, his value in the market decreases. So I think it's crucial that they start talking about a new deal with Rom, even if that does mean that him and Raiola are only going to accept some kind of release clause of, I don't know, as a ballpark figure, 70, 75 million. That, I think that's what we need to go for, really.
I'm not sure I would throw a contract at him now. Look at John Stones this summer. I think he had a poor year, didn't he, last season? Obviously, a lot of talk about Chelsea maybe going and getting him, but Everton have still managed to sell him for a lot more this summer than was being bandied around last summer. And I think if Lukaku goes and scores 15, 20 goals in the Premier League this season, I think Everton will be well within the rights to command the same sort of fee again next summer. And if the market inflates again, then you're probably going to get that kind of fee. So I'd wait for the time being, and maybe have an incentive for him to go out and score goals, and then maybe offer him that new bumper deal and make him the highest paid player, if he's not already.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there, Matt, but I sort of tend to agree with Paddy there, because I just think, I'm not too sure how long he's got left on his contract, but once you start getting into that sort of second year, they know then people, the other clubs come sniffing as well, don't they? And they know that his value is going down as well. And I just think Everton, as a club where they stand at the moment, they can't afford to sort of, you know, to lose out money-wise on him. But I understand what Matt's saying there. You know, we've got to put an incentive there because at the moment, he's the only player that we've got at the club. He's our only sort of striker and there's no pressure on him. So at the moment, he's king of the castle, isn't he? And I suppose that's why he's walking around thinking he is.
I fully expect him to come back wearing a crown.
Would you give him a new contract, Pat?
I'm split because I don't know if he deserves one. Like, he deserves to be because he'd end up being the highest earning Everton player of all time. So I'm add that to Coney being number 9, and I'm devastated. And if Sissoko had been our highest ever player, God, I'd have been finished. No, it's an interesting one because if he does want a new contract, I'm sure he'll insist on having a buyout clause in it. So, are you protecting your assets if he has got a buyout clause? That's the interesting dilemma. But I'm sure the club will just offer him one simply out of the idea that if we have a good season, he might suddenly decide he likes it at Everton and stay. So, well, I mean, that'll be down to his mum and dad, as always. But we'll wait and see on that one. Right, coming up in part three, we'll be looking forward to Monday night's game against Sunderland, the return of David Moyes. Welcome to the final part of the Blue Room on Radio City Talk with me, Peter McPartland. David Moyes, It's like a combined Everton and Man United side of old against us on Monday night up at the Stadium of Light. Obviously, very disappointing result there at the end of last... Well, I say disappointing. He got rid of Martinez. It wasn't that disappointing.
Was that his last game, or was it? Yeah, it was, wasn't
yeah,
it?
That was yeah. his last game. He was well, there was many rumours suggesting that he already knew that was going to be his last game when he took it. But it's going to be an interesting one, this. Obviously, we've had a good start. Sunderland not such a good start. But got a decent point against Southampton in their last game. And obviously, David Moyes worked really hard to stop us getting Kone as well, because obviously, you know, didn't want to see the lad further his career by coming to a bigger club. But it's this is going to be a tough game. I think, you know, I think David Moyes will start to get, you know, his workings into Sunderland. And whatever anyone thinks of David Moyes, you know, he is a good coach, and he's good at getting his system in place and starting to grind out points, and then points end up being wins, and you know, as we've seen at Everton for 11 years, he's very good at what he does.
Yeah, they're going to be organised, aren't they? You know, that's what he starts organising the back four. He plays to a system. He's going to have them working hard. You know, he's added a couple of little players, and I don't think the fans have talked to him straight away, because he's come out, hasn't he, already, and he hasn't helped himself, I think, in what he said at a press conference, when he said yeah, I expect that's what we're going to be doing this year. We're going to be, you know, fighting relegation. That's what we seem to be doing the last couple of years. And I think he said something very similar when he just come in as Everton manager. I think at a press conference he once said you know, that the fans weren't happy about, you know, our position in the league, and he turned around and said, well, that's where he's been for the last couple of years. So I think he probably needs to do his research a little bit more, doesn't he, or maybe have a little bit of a think before he goes into these press conferences in future.
That's classic Moyes, though, isn't it? Because if they do achieve better things, then suddenly it's all because of him.
It's him.
You know,
yeah.
He did it at us. He projected Everton as being little Everton, plucky Everton. And when we did finish top five, top four, top six, top seven, suddenly all the light was shone on him, and he was the person who had created this. So that is very Moyes.
I just think he's done himself no favours, though, has he, with the fans? I think the fans' expectations up there. It's a big club, let's face it.
I don't know why they've got any expectations.
I know, but it's you know, they're getting 40,000
people. People keep on telling me that,
they?
Though, mate, but I've never seen any proof of it.
It's a well-supported club, isn't it?
It's a well-supported club. There's not much else to do up there on a Saturday, to be honest, mate.
Without tempting fate here, and I'm sure I'll be regretting this next week, I think this is a really ideal time to play Sunderland, because I think if you look at the players they brought in, I think they've made 9 new signings. A lot of them are young players. They haven't managed to get a goalkeeper in. They have brought a striker in now, obviously, in Victor and Ichibi to provide backup to Jermaine Defoe. But I think those kinds of traits that you mentioned about Moyes, about the fitness, about the organisation, about having a solid back four, they'll take time to implement. And I think with the international break ongoing, he'll have a few players away, all these new signs coming in, it might take him a little bit more time now to get those sort of qualities in there. And I think the team that Everton will take there obviously didn't make any major signings on deadline day. I think it'll be settled, and we've seen in the last hour against West Brom and the game against Stoke, it's solid, it's functional going forward, and there's a burgeoning cohesion in the team with Ronald Koeman. So I think I'd expect us to go up there and really put them to the test and take the 3 points.
It's not really a conventional away game, if I'm looking at it from a supporter's point of view, because I think, first and foremost, as we've said, David Moyes, he's a defensive-orientated manager, and I think what he'll do at the very least is he'll make them hard to beat. They'll sit deep. They won't come on to Everton, because they know the likes of Lukaku and Bolasie can hurt them in behind. So we're going to have the majority of the ball. We're going to have the same amount of possession as we would in a home game. And it's just whether this Everton team has enough kind of playmaker types really to break down stubborn teams like that. I've not seen much evidence of it as yet. I think that was why we really perhaps needed another playmaker type of Mikel Arteta in there to dictate play from deep, really. So yeah,
Pienaar.
You spot on, though, there, what you're saying there, Paddy, because, you know, it was very similar at West Brom. We went there and Pulis was happy to give us the ball because of what he'd seen of us last season. And for the first, you know, 35, 40 minutes, we really struggled with the responsibility of having the ball. We couldn't find that killer pass. And it was only having Romelu Lukaku on the pitch that suddenly added that extra dimension to keep those centre backs busy, that we could start finding that little bit of space to play with the ball up front. So that will be an interesting point. We will have more of the ball. It's just what we do with it. And with it being the early stages of Ronald Koeman's tenure, I still think there's gaps in that, where you've seen in the Stoke game. I think I think we like at the moment to be in those rough and tough games where the ball's flying into the box at both ends. We've got the players who can deal with that, and you hope at the other end we've just got that little bit of extra class, whether it be from a set piece. Yeah, a set piece that we can find the difference in a game.
I think us going there and trying to dominate the ball is not necessarily going to be a bad thing here, though, because I think if you look at their results so far, they've lost the first two games, didn't they? And they drew the most recent one against Saints. I think the fans are there. While they are well backed and they can be noisy sometimes, they do get edgy very, very quick. Mm. And I think if you can keep the ball off Sunderland for the first 20 minutes and work really hard to get it back, which is what we've been doing so far in the first three games, and just smother them and keep them penned back, they're going to get on the backs of the players there. And as I mentioned there, just there before, they've got a lot of new players, they've got a lot of young players in the side as well. And you just wonder whether if Everton can keep the ball and keep them pinned back in their final third for a long, long time, they might just disintegrate. And I think going there and really asserting our authority on the game is going to be the best way to do it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're the home team, aren't they? As you say, you know, they are going to give the ball up, I think they are. But as you say, the fans won't have that, you know, especially, you know, half an hour into the game. If Everton are dominating the game, they're going to have to come out. And obviously, that's going to play into our hands with, you know, the type of players that we've got there at the moment. I think this year, away from home, I think a lot of managers are going to be wary of the way we play, obviously, with the pace of you know, Balassi, you know, Ross Barkley there as well, thrown into the mix. And I think we're going to have to look for Ross for that playmaker. We're looking probably at Ross now to show that little bit of guile he's got. This is a massive season for him. Mm. I think he's got to be that player who, you know, creates the space for all the players. And I think his final ball he's really going to have to improve it, because I think that's where we're missing out at the moment. We're just missing out on the like final ball in the last third.
Yeah, I think what's key with some of the signings, certainly someone like Balassi, is he takes the pressure off. I think Ross Barkley in the last 2 years, everything's been seen to have gone through him. So when his final ball's been, he's had to create that a lot, and that's where fans have been frustrated with him, because he does get a lot of the ball, certainly has. Whereas now I think we do have someone like Balassi who can just from a standing start beat the fullback for pace and just whip a ball in. It's whether we've got players on the other end of that, you know, in the couple of games he's played, or the one and a half games he's played, we Ross Barkley, funny enough, has really been the only player who's got on the end of one and obviously put it behind. We've got to start, you know, leaning to commit players into the box, not just look for Ross Barkley to try and open defences up.
At least he got into those positions, though, and I think there's been signs that he is starting to try and get into those areas a little bit more as well. I think what's going to be interesting for me is the decision he makes on the fullback, and whether he brings Seamus Coleman straight back into the team after he played against Ireland, after he played against their Serbia in midweek and had a pretty decent game overall, or whether he sticks with Holgate. It's going to be... And I think there's times last season when we were looking at the squad and we criticised Martinez for bringing players out to inform and bringing some old favourites back in, and I just don't see how he can really drop Holgate based on the way he's been playing in those first three games, really.
Yeah, he's been man of the match, one year, especially against Stoke there. You know, I think he offers exactly the same as what Seamus does, is going forward. He's a threat as well. Mm. And I just think it's good for the squad. I think it's going to be good for Seamus Coleman now to realise that he's not going to walk straight back in. The lad's done nothing wrong. He was man of the match against Stoke, so for me, he's got to stay in.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things with Seamus is I don't think he's fully fit anyway. There was a lot of question marks behind him whether he was fully fit for the Republic of Ireland. And that again, that's good, because that was something we've seen. Well, we've seen that probably for the last 14 years, is players coming back and playing games when they're not fit. So if he's not fit, it's good the fact that he can go on the bench and let Holgate get on with it. Because, again, one of the first things Koeman said when he came in was, If you play well, you keep your shirt. And that's something that we haven't seen enough of in the last 3 or 4 years either.
Mm. I think if we go there and putting it well, get a win as well, it's another tangible sign of progress, isn't it? Because we've gone and righted the wrong with the Stoke game from last year with the 4-3. With a solid performance, professional display. And I think if we go to Sunderland as well and show that we have made massive strides from last year as well, it's another boost, isn't it? And something to contrast to. So going there and getting the 3 points and suddenly it's 10 points from 12 games with games against Middlesbrough and Bournemouth to come, you're looking up then and thinking, when is this run? This run's not going to come to an end anytime soon. It breathes confidence throughout the rest of the club. So, yeah, I think it's vital that we go then and get the 3 points.
I mean, them three games that we've played at the moment, I know, you know, I don't like comparing it to last year, but you just know for a fact that we wouldn't have held out in the, those three games, especially the game against Stoke there. You know, although we rode our luck a little bit with them in the bar and that, you just feel as though that at some point we would have conceded in one of those games. And I think that is a good mentality. It's a good practice to get into, you know, to sort of to keep that team spirit up and, you know, fighting for everything. And I think that's what Koeman brings to the team.
Yeah, I think we are starting to see that extra value that Koeman adds to the team. But also as well, I looked at the team that played against Stoke, and I think if you take Idrissa Gueye out and you take Ashley Williams and even Stecklenburg to a lesser extent, I think the spine of the team, the core of the team, is much weaker if you take those players out, and they've added massive value as well. Last season we'd have lost that game. We'd have lost it. But this is a stronger Everton. It's a more combative Everton as well, and that gives you more confidence going into a game like this against Sunderland, I think.
Obviously, someone we haven't spoke about is Enner Valencia.
Right.
I don't know why he slipped my mind. I really don't. But we haven't really spoke about him at all. I mean, we have brought him in. A couple of West Ham fans give me a hug on transfer deadline day. I think that might say it all. But you know, we have brought him in. I mean, what can he add? We've got 4 minutes, lads. Come and help me out here. What can he add to this Everton squad? You know, with Monday in mind.
I think he's a player, isn't he, that seems to be, he seems to have gone stale, doesn't he, at West Ham. I think he was, about 2 years ago, when he very first joined the club, he was all the rage, and I think he's really been struggling down there, hasn't he? I think he's struggling for confidence, and he's a player that needed a move. And I think the good thing is that we've only got him in on loan with a view to, I couldn't believe when he said, with a view to a £14 million move. I think that's very, very wise that we're going to come and have a look at him. He's obviously, he's a last-minute job, isn't he? Mm. We've known that we've had to get someone in. I think he's probably maybe plan D or plan E after everything else went sort of P-tong, didn't it? And we've got him in at 10:45.
Have you been asked to put musician plants into this? Plan B and P-tong there.
There's another one coming in a minute, but I've got 3 minutes to get another one in.
I don't know you're going to get Britney Spears in.
But yeah, again, he's a player that I don't know that much about. I think, look, as I say, we've got him on loan, and we're just going to have a look at him, aren't we?
It's quite a Moyes signing, isn't it? Really, if you look at the, I think one of the best things he did during his Everton career was you get players who were out of favour elsewhere in on loan for 6 months, so usually in the January window, and kind of reinvigorate them and then bring them in permanently. And I think Valencia, although I've not been impressed with him at all at West Ham, there's obviously talent there. He's got a great long shot. I think he's quite good in the air as well for somebody who's only 5'8". He's got a really good, looking at his Ecuador goal scoring record the other day. He's got, I think it's like 1-2 for them. Although he didn't play very well against Brazil the other night from what I saw. But hopefully...
Oh, your football hipster.
I know, Ecuador and Brazil there in the same sentence. But hopefully a change of scenery and a move up here will give him that kind of boost. And I think he fell out with Slaven Bilic towards the end of last season, didn't he? So he's obviously not happy there. He's unsettled, and perhaps, you know, pressing Romelu Lukaku will bring the best out of him.
I think the parallel I would make here is I see him as fitting into the Everton team in a similar way to how Shane Long works at Southampton. He's similar characteristics, really. He's fairly decent in the air, even though he's not a target man. But he's also pacey. He'll run into the channels, and I think that's what Ronald Koeman's looking for, really. There was a failed experiment with Gerard De La Feu, really, where throughout pre-season and even in the Tottenham game, he didn't quite do enough to fulfil that role. But Enner Valencia is more accustomed to it, and whilst I'm not particularly enamoured with the signing, I can see some sort of logic in this, as even just to plug a gap and to bring somebody off the bench to close out games later on by pressing from the front.
I was shocked that they let the lad from Switzerland go to Germany, to be honest, whose name eludes me.
Tarashai.
Knowing how struggling we are up front, unless he's really that bad.
I don't think he's bad. I just don't think. Do you think he's equipped yet?
Right,
physically, which is what I've heard about Valencia physically. But if you want a manager to get you up to strength with the Premier League, I think we've got the right manager in there. Very quickly, not much time left. Predictions, Paddy, starting with you for Monday night.
2-1 Everton. Narrow Everton win.
I'll go for another 1-0.
I think we'll win comfortably. I'm going to go 2-0.
Is that a comfortable win these days?
We've waited
this long. We've got to wait till Monday now. Gents, thanks for coming into the show tonight. We'll be back next week, hopefully with big smiles on our faces. Good night.